A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
For the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. It's a long road trip back east for the Aggies as they square off against UConn. Your home for all the play-by-play coverage of Aggie football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Tomorrow, Football Friday. Football Friday is presented by Utah First Credit Union. No judgments, just auto loans for all credit types. Apply online at utahfirst.com. That's utahfirst.com. Tomorrow, I'm going to be hanging out at Peach Doors and Windows. Love you have to stop by and say hi. We're going to be hanging out from 10 to noon, previewing Utah and BYU. 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake. You can also always find them online, peachbuildingproducts.com, but going to be hanging out down there, so stopping by and see me, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Hoping to catch up with David Locke here momentarily, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. And coming up in about 25 minutes, we will have number 18 on our Jazz Top 50 list as we get very close to the Jazz season kicking off. Coming up actually this afternoon, 3 o'clock, they're going to be doing the Jazz Media Training Camp. This is something they've been doing for a couple of years now. Media members come in, they will run us through some drills, we get to meet the coaches, etc. So we try and work through that and meet some of the new coaches and end up playing some games, and inevitably somebody gets hurt, and I'm hoping it's not me this year. And then coming up on Monday, we've got Media Day for the Utah Jazz. Again, some new coaches that were officially announced today joining the team as Will Hardy has finalized his coaching staff. Chad Forcier is going to be joining the team. Rick Higgins, Scott Morrison, who was the Stars head coach last year, and Mike Williams also jumping on this roster now, replacing Alex Jensen and some of the outgoing names. Several names still returning that you're familiar with: Evan Brads, Chris Jones, Sean Sheldon, Lamar Skeeter, Jason Terry, George Rodman, Anthony Beaumont, Andrew Warren, Matt Temple, and Becca Ward all return to the Utah Jazz next season. So a big growing coaching staff, and I'll be curious what Will Hardy's culture looks like with the Jazz now that he's into year two and is not just trying to keep his head above water, not just trying to catch his breath, which is something he had said happened at times last year. He was just trying to figure out exactly what he was doing on the road, you know, trying to make sure that he had all the peripherals done. Coaching didn't ever seem like it was an issue for him, never seemed like it was too big of an opportunity. But I think everything else that goes into being a head coach in the NBA was a brand new experience for him. And being just 34 years old, I think that was a major jump for him. So year two, some more of his guys around him. I'm excited to see what that looks like. And I would imagine we get a chance to see him today as all the Jazz players are officially back in town, including Walker Kessler yesterday. All right, let's bring in the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, host of the Locked On Sports Network, podcast network, excuse me, it is David Locke. What's going on, David?
Not much, but I do want to share with you that I've been out of the country for the last 10 days, and this is better here than any place I went. I went to some great places, but man, it's awesome here.
Where'd you go?
I'm actually on the top of Round Valley right now.
Okay.
Looking over at the Park City Yellow and Reds, and gosh, do we live in an incredible spot. I love it here.
This is so great. Where have you been?
Copenhagen, Venice, and Florence.
Oh, okay. I've been to Venice and Florence. I've never been to Copenhagen.
cool city. My son's studying there, so we went to go see him. And then I'd never been to Italy before, so did that.
What was your takeaway?
Three fabulous places, all with their own distinctive element. The history is incredible. The culture is, you know, deep and long, which is pretty awesome. And then that's 9 days in cities, and that's a lot for this kid.
Yeah, that's a lot. Anything you can talk to Simone Fontecchio about? Any takeaways?
I went to Venice, and I had no Simone Fontecchio sighting or even anything in regards to basketball, of Italian basketball or Simone Fontecchio. I was watching, but it did not seem to be real prevalent.
All right, let's talk about the big news in the NBA. Damian Lillard moved to Milwaukee. We can get into some of the nitty-gritty of it, but your initial thoughts when you heard it, what was your first thought?
So I'm going to give you kind of a long answer. I knew this was coming, and I've been on a bike for an hour so I could think about it. So I think this one's super interesting because my first thought was like how basketball people like overthink things. So I do think like in basketball circles, like we all love Dame and he's amazing, but he's like really easy to love, right? Like he's a house of highlights guy, every fan out there. So you have a tendency to kind of, well, he's terrible on defense. His team's been ranked in the bottom two defensively for the last 4 or 5 years. Like, isn't he? He's been below 500. Isn't he a little culpable? Kind of. And then Drew Holiday is like not a house of highlights guy, and he's not on any TikToks. But like, if you're a basketball guy, you kind of love him. He gets dirty, and he's one of the great defensive plays in the history of the game. And, you know, all it. And so, like, my first reaction was like, oh, I don't know. Like, Milwaukee's going to miss that grittiness of Drew, and Dame's got to. And finally, this morning I woke up, I was like, whoa, wait. One of these guys is like a transcendent offensive player, Hall of Famer, going to be talked about for years to come. And the other's like, he's good. Like, he's like Mike Conley. He's like borderline all-star, probably been an all-star once, maybe twice. I think he was this year. Like, but like, that's what he is. Like, you know, like Mike Conley always got talked about, oh, he's the most under. No, he's actually was the most perfectly rated player in the history of the game. And like Drew Holiday might be too. Like, he's really good. And like, if you know basketball, he's really good and he's tough as hell. And talking to Vince Legarza, who was an assistant with him last year, just loved him. Like, oh my gosh, loved him. So like, I think that, you know, when we're talking about that, but I just like on the other end, like they added a transcendent Hall of Fame.
Sounds like we may have lost David there. We will try and reconnect again. He is on the top of a mountain in Park City. So we will see if we can get his reception back. And I agree with David there. I think sometimes we get a little bit lost in the sauce of what a guy can't do and Dame can't defend, or Drew is able to be a, you know, an excellent defensive player and is a borderline all-NBA guy and may have gotten some all-NBA votes last year. But at any moment on any given night, and really more often than not, Dame is basically Steph Curry. And when you add a player of that caliber, even if it's just for a year or two against with Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's a huge difference maker. So, David, continuing your thought, I just said, you know, more often than not, Dame is similar to Steph Curry. And if you have a chance to add a guy who I think you and I argued whether or not Steph is the second or third best player in the NBA, you probably do it without thinking too much.
Yeah, and I apologize. My phone's doing some weird stuff. If a call comes in, it just automatically goes to it. It's really cool. I don't know where you left off, but like, yeah, I woke up this morning. I was like, wait, what am I thinking? Like he's a transcendent player in the history of our game who's going to be talked about forever. So, yeah, you go get him. And then, I mean, he's the second best pick and roll player in the NBA behind Luka. Like, you spread the floor, have Giannis play the five, and have Giannis rolling to the basket. Like, that's going to be pretty tough to guard. If you switch it, you're dead. It's another reason why, like, 6'1" guards are just going to have a really hard time in this league. Like, you know, if Donovan has to guard Donovan, like, how do Donovan and Darius Garland guard a Giannis Dame Lillard pick and roll?
And, you know, they still have Chris Middleton and they still have Brooke Lopez, and they're going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be fabulous. And they were already the best regular season team last year.
Yeah, right. They're a little thin. Like, they don't have a backup point guard, so maybe that does or doesn't matter. And Dame he hasn't played a lot of games. Now, it's hard to tell sometimes in Portland why you're not playing games. They now don't really have a backup shooting guard on their roster. So Marshawn Boeschamp, who they do like but is a little out of control, has to really probably put it together. So they're a little thin. I mean, this is a new era, though, Ben, and probably not – we can do this next week. But, like, I was doing – I had a 10-hour plane flight yesterday, so I did 10 hours of NBA prep. And one of the things I did was went through every roster to see how many viable rotation minutes teams had. There's not a team in the Eastern Conference that has 240 minutes. Hmm. And there's not really a great team that has 240 minutes, other than maybe the Warriors. Because almost every one of these teams now has to have the players up top. You've got huge gaps. I mean, Phoenix, holy smokes. Now, I haven't redone them since they added. That was an important add for them. Other than the fact that Nurkic is cooked. Like, DeAndre Ayton must be a real bore.
Yeah. Right? I was thinking that because what I've been saying, and I think what everyone's been saying is, man, if you could get a Rudy Gobert type behind Damian Lillard or a center with a pulse behind Damian Lillard ever since the compound fracture for Nurkic, because he was pretty good before that. But if you could get that guy behind him, maybe they would have something. And that's the guy Phoenix traded DeAndre Ayton for. I honestly didn't understand that. And maybe I'm missing something totally. I've done that before, but I didn't get that at all other than, oh, they hate DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, and honestly, in Portland, they didn't like Nurk much last year.
Yeah,
they weren't so pleased with him. And you know, like Dame's defense is an issue. Like, let's not ignore that because I do think that aspect's right. But frankly, Brook Lopez and Giannis can clean up a lot of mistake problems, or should be able to at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the best roster Dame's played on by 1,000 miles. And the second best player he's ever played with by 1,000 miles, and vice versa for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I think those two are going to blend together well. And I've always thought Dame's best comp, not as a player, but as a personality, or at least his story, was very similar to Kevin Garnett. And KG went to Boston and won a title his first year because all of a sudden he was stacked with talent after being in no man's land in Minnesota. And I could see the same thing for Dame.
I want to change what you just said a minute ago. Because this was one of the thoughts I just had while I was thinking about this conversation. It's the second, third, and fourth best player he's ever played with.
Yeah, I think that's fair. As
like,
far as fit goes
you're going
for Dame,
to Nicholas Batum and LaMarcus Aldridge, but like in the last 8 years, like since LaMarcus left and Nicholas Batum left, like if you go look at who he's been playing with, like Mo Harkless left and couldn't make a roster. Al Farouk left, couldn't make a roster. CJ McCollum left, had a good 3 months, was bad last year.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, maybe Brandon Roy for a weekend, but yeah, not much.
Yeah, right? So you're going back to LaMarcus Aldridge and Dame Lillard, right? Well, Giannis is better. I think Brooke Lopez is outstanding, and Chris Middleton, if he's right, is probably better than LaMarcus. And he's better than Nicholas Batum.
What do you think Portland can get for Jrue Holiday?
Super interesting. So let's walk through this together. So Jrue, where does Jrue Holiday change the balance of power again? So let's walk through the East. Milwaukee's not going to go get him, right?
Right.
Okay. Boston.
He would help Boston.
And they all right, so then they would do what? What would they do? They don't have any young players.
No,
so
I don't think they can get him. Truthfully, I don't think they can get
him. Okay. So then we go to Philly. That's makes some sense as part of part of a Harden deal, or is it?
And you know, yeah, Portland doesn't want any part of Harden, and maybe it's a three-way trade again, but then you're just getting complicated. It's just getting difficult. We are 3 days away from camp opening up. In fact, I think the Mavericks open camp today because they play a week from today. So
right,
yeah, it's
Minnesota
just
open camp today because they go to
Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
Dubai. Yeah. Okay. So, and then I do think that they have to give up Tyrese Maxey, which they probably don't want to do. All right. So then we go to Cleveland. They aren't going to go for Jrue Holiday. So we're at the Knicks.
Knicks and Miami. And then maybe
The Knicks and Miami both make a lot of sense, right? And they both have pretty decent packages. Miami's is not great. Knicks have a lot of pieces that they could play around with for Jrue Holiday, who's, you know, got the right to opt out. So it's really kind of a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
There is this concept though that I think there's some big names to fall here. Now maybe it's not Giannis anymore, but like I suspect. I'm the only person who's saying this, but I think Paul George or Kawhi Leonard could get traded by the deadline.
Huh.
Like, I mean, if I was the Clippers, I'm offering Paul George to Cleveland for Donovan Mitchell right now.
Huh.
Like, hey, guys, he's not going to resign. He's not taking his extension. Here's Paul George. He's got a year left. And then the L.A. resigns Donovan, and they can rebuild their future.
As opposed to waiting for him to hit free agency.
Right. I've always thought Donovan ends up in L.A.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. You've laid that out before. I mean, the Clippers could use Drew Holiday. Okay, so I don't think they have the pieces to get him. And Minnesota could use him.
And Golden State could use him.
Yeah.
He'd be really great on Golden State.
Yeah, he would.
And that's Chris Paul and picks and Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, do they have picks left? I honestly don't. I don't know what they
have.
And
I don't think they can. I don't think they can put Chris Paul with someone for a while.
Yeah, not until whatever after Thanksgiving when you can start putting multiple salaries together again.
So it's really interesting because, like, Denver doesn't need him. Phoenix would have just done it. Golden State's the third best team. Golden State's better than anyone realizes, by the way, I've decided. I think some of the exercises, Ben, I just said it. So I went through every roster, see how many minutes viable rotation players they have. Then I went through every roster's plus minus with only the players that they have left on their roster from last year. So you get rid of all the crap that they got rid of. Then I went to the big three on every team's plus minus. Then I broke down every team 10, top 10, top 30, top 50, top 100. Golden State looks on pace. Like, we're missing on Golden State right now. They're really good.
I think the Lakers could also be in the running for him if they could find a way to get that deal done. I don't know how you get it done.
I'll tell you, my takeaways from my research were the Clippers aren't very good. Like, their roster just doesn't work. Like, you'll go play plus minuses with all their combinations. There aren't any good ones right there on that team right now. The Lakers, I felt a little, like, the Lakers are much thinner. Like, the Austin Reeves love affair is cute and all, and he might be really good. He's their third best player, though. Like, that's not great. Right? They only have two players in the top 100. They happen to be 11 and 12. But they only have two players in the top 100 players in the NBA right now. So they need Drew Holiday.
It's going to take a while before they could trade Rui Hachimura because they just signed him. But you could do Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell, and they've got the other first-round pick they didn't trade to the Jazz in the Russell Westbrook trade that they could potentially throw. It's an unprotected first for Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Austin Reeves is a pretty good
roster. That's a totally different ballgame, right? Because now you have three players in the top 30.
Yeah. I would keep an eye on that. If Portland's okay sitting with Drew Holiday for a couple of months, letting him show Scoot Henderson the ropes of how to be a pro, what being in the NBA looks like, and then handing, you know, the entire franchise over to him. If they could get an unprotected first from the Lakers, that might be worth it because it will be post LeBron, post Anthony Davis, and might be something they're interested in.
Well, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, I think you're sitting down with Drew right now and you're saying, "Hey, we'll see what people come to us with. There's a real chance the two teams are Golden State and the Lakers. Both of them can't do it for 2 months. So we need you to just be a pro for 2 months."
Yep. Which, by the way, I don't think that's going to be a problem for Drew. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think that'll be a problem. He's beloved.
Right. I do think the subtle thing on Drew Holiday was his ability to opt out and leave Milwaukee.
I do think he would have been gone.
I think there's a chance. There's a bunch of subtle things in this deal that the more I dug into it and I actually took the time to dig into it, I thought there were a bunch of really interesting aspects to it. So, like, one of them was if Milwaukee he's going to opt out at the end of this year and they would have had to re-sign him. It's not like as the albatross that is Dame Lillard's contract, which I actually thought really was part of what was going on with Lillard, was that he wasn't that great a trade asset because of the contract so bad. And so that's what I think Miami was like. We're just not giving up a lot for him. And Milwaukee, when Giannis put the pressure on him, was the one team that actually was willing to give up a lot for him because suddenly we're in a bind, right? And so that's why this trade happened. But it's interesting, particularly for Milwaukee, because Drew Holiday's extension isn't that much less and would have been just the same age, would have been just as bad a contract.
Yeah.
The other one was a little bit of the Nurkic Ayton money stuff is interesting on that. Like, you know, Phoenix was into it. Phoenix was in they get off some, as much as I just think adding Nurkic is just a, I mean, really DeAndre Ayton really must be a tremendous like problem for them to make that. Like, sometimes you tell on yourself, like, that's like my, you know, like when Montrezl Harrell was like, the Clippers haven't even called. Oh, well, okay, you just told on yourself because you were pretty good last year.
Yeah.
Like, he must really be a problem because for them to not even offer, like, or them not to, like, for Nurkic, like, wow, that's a number one pick. That's instead of Luka Doncic, by the way.
Yeah, that's an all-time. all-time head scratcher.
And Marvin Bagley instead of Luka Doncic. I mean, really, both of them are all-timers.
Yeah. Yep. And Trae Young being traded for Luka is not a great trade either. Still not a great move all-time.
By the way, side note, one of my other big takeaways from all my research the other night was Atlanta's not good. Like, if you want my Vegas over-unders, woo! I don't know if I could ever go under on Quinn Snyder, but that roster I could go under 100 times. It's just not there.
What do they set at? Do you know what their over-under is?
I think they're in that quagmire of, like, 45s.
Yeah. Ooh, 45's high.
Maybe it's a little lower. But, like, yeah, I do think there's something too. Like, here's what I think they're like, again, I don't want to bore people to death, or if we want to do this on an upcoming show, we can do it. We kind of have this funny 3 weeks of like anticipation and no news. Like when you put together the Warriors, like guys that are back on their roster. So they all have some good guys, but like they're plus 19, right? Like you put together like the guys returning on the Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart, if you haven't put Kristaps on, those core guys, they're like plus 17. Like they're like these teams, like Denver, they're plus 18. Like these teams are great. Atlanta's even. And then you put Atlanta's core three together, they're negative.
Yeah. Hey, you said Mike Conley's the most appropriately rated player in NBA history. He just came in at number 19 on our Jazz 50. How was that rated?
All right, give me the I know you don't want to give me the 16, 17, 18. So give me 20, 21, 22. I apologize. I lost track.
You're fine.
I think on Derek Favors was in here somewhere, right?
20 was Paul Millsap. 21 was Derek Favors. 22 was Al Jefferson.
Paul Millsap got rated higher than Al Jefferson. That's super interesting. And Derek Favors got ranked.
Paul Millsap and Derek Favors were separated by a single point. It was the closest vote we had.
It seems like that's like somehow appropriate. I do think Paul Millsap is probably getting some votes for what he did when he left.
Agreed.
Because Paul Millsap in Utah was not the player Paul Millsap was when he then proceeded to go to the next spot. I think that's probably too high. In the sense that Mike Conley had 3 years with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
First one wasn't great. Second one was the year where they have the most wins in the league. And the third one was, what happens? The second one's his all-star year. The third one.
The team sours on each other. He's kind of in and out of the lineup, I remember. Not with hamstring stuff, but with just little things here and there.
And honestly, his biggest weakness as a player is he's too nice and the best dude in the planet, and he's not a leader. And that might have shown up in that year.
Yeah.
His fourth year with us, which is the first half of last year, is one of his better stretches. 19's probably about right. I would think.
He's the first all-star to make it on this list. No other player in a Jazz uniform has been an all-star, has been on the list yet.
Okay, that's a great note. Thank you.
Lowest rated all-star.
I'm really fascinated. You've done a great job with this. I'm really fascinated to watch the rest of it.
He's played the third fewest games of any player in the top 20.
Okay. Then maybe he's about perfect. Because he should probably be ahead of Favors, Millsap, and Jefferson.
He was probably a better player. Yep. On better teams.
He's a better player, more important on better teams, third best player on most of those teams, and super important. And, like, you know, his deficiencies probably are why he's not, you know, had he been a little better, he would have been a six-time All-Star in his career, and he would have been number 10 on this list, and we probably would have played in another finals and two conference finals.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, here's the question. You want the fun one? Had the Jazz gotten Drew Holiday instead of Mike Conley?
The nice thing about Drew is he's probably actually a secondary ball handler, which might put the ball in Donovan's hands more, which might have been better.
And he's bigger.
He's bigger.
He's better defensively.
Yeah.
He's, yeah. I've always want, like, it's definitely 20/20 hindsight, and, like, it's not fair to Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck, and they are not as close together as people think they are. I think the trades are 16 months apart. Like, I had in my head for a while they were, like, 4 months apart. I was like, oh, my gosh. They're actually, like, 16 months apart, I think. They're not – like, when the Jazz first started talking to Mike Conley about Mike Conley, which was, you know, earlier when they actually made the Mike Conley trade, it was a little closer together. But – and the era of trades was different then. You didn't just go, like, Milwaukee really emptied the bank for Drew Holiday in a way that people hadn't at that time, which made it a really different move. But I do think that give – and Justin actually might have been on Milwaukee's staff when they did that, frankly. I do think that John Horst in Milwaukee and probably Justin when he was there, I do think they did something that changed the league on the Drew Holiday trade, which I think is – it's going to be interesting to see – which is, like, if you have the dude, in this case it's Giannis, you just empty out the bank to go get your next pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you're not – your trades are not based on, like, oh, that's a fair trade. I'll be reviewed well on that trade. They're based on, like, I want Drew Holiday and I need him. And Milwaukee was the first ones to really do that when they went and got Drew Holiday. And if you remember, like, the Jazz were trying to go get Mike Conley at the trade deadline, and, like, well, they wanted an extra pick, and we were like, well, he's not worth an extra pick. And we were probably right, but in retrospect, we gave up the extra pick. And frankly, like, at that point, now the league basically says, well, if you have a guy you want to go get, just, like, go give it up. And maybe you can't do that in Utah because our market, Milwaukee's deciding to do it. It's just really interesting. Like, I do think the Drew Holiday trade to Milwaukee is kind of a tentpole moment in how the NBA trading stop changed.
David, we got to go to break. I appreciate you jumping on. Are you going to be there today?
Is that what is today?
Media training camp today.
Oh, media training camp. No, I thought it was tomorrow.
You'll be alone if you go tomorrow.
Oh. I might come down. I'll text me. I did not have it set up right. I thought I was going to miss it. I might be able to do it. Might not. Text me the details, or I'll text Megan. I screwed up the dates.
Okay. Thanks, David.
See you, buddy. Bye.
There he is, David Locke. Worst case scenario, I'll see him Monday at Utah Jazz Media Day. And then they fly to Hawaii to open training camp. It's already here. All right, when we come back, we will get to number 18. Sorry, that was probably a pretty casual conversation. That's kind of how David and I talk, meandering and not really going anywhere. I'm sorry, that probably was terrible radio. Number 18 on the Jazz, top 50 players of all time coming up next. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Cougars return home for a key Big 12 showdown against Cincinnati. Your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Thursday. Thursday night football tonight. Packers taking on the Lions. We've got NBA training camps already kicking off today. Both Minnesota and Dallas are out there. You're going to see more teams coming up as teams playing outside of the United States in the preseason, like those two teams who will face off in Abu Dhabi a week from tonight, get a chance to open early. Everybody else opens over the weekend. So Monday, the Utah Jazz will open up and then head down to Hawaii. And we'll get a lot of news and, of course, have full coverage for you right here on the KSL Sports Zone. But as we do every day at 11:30, we break down the latest member of the Utah Jazz 50, the 50 greatest players in Jazz history, in honor of the 50th anniversary. Sarah, let's get to number 18.
It's the 50th year of Jazz basketball, and the Zone is counting you down to this historic season by naming the top 50 Jazz players of all time, as voted on by the local media and you, the fans. And now, here's today's selection.
At number 18 in the Jazz 50 countdown, forward Thurl Bailey. Selected with the 7th pick in the 1983 NBA draft, Bailey ushered in an era of winning in Utah that has never left the franchise. The forward averaged 14 points and 5.5 rebounds, while the Jazz qualified for the playoffs in each of his 10 seasons in Utah.
The top 50 Jazz players of all time, presented by UCCU. Love where you bank. On your home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Number 18, Ben Thurl, Big T Bailey.
I think one of the things you note, that Sarah notes there on his introduction, he brought winning with him that never left. He comes in, his rookie season, the Jazz make the playoffs. And look, it's Dantley, it's other guys as well. Daryl Griffith is there. But like, the Jazz make the playoffs, and they just keep making the playoffs. I mean, they what is it, 17, 18 years in a row they make it with John and Carl, even longer than that. They make it all of John's career. And then they've kind of stayed relevant as a result. And Thurl Bailey was a really big part of that and was a winner, obviously, in college and brought that championship pedigree with him. Was really good. I would argue the Jazz lost the trade when they sent him to Minnesota for Tyrone Corbin. And then, you know, Thurl comes back really late in his career in the early 2000s. But yeah, an absolute legend with the Jazz for in franchise history, but probably gotten a little bit underrated on the court for how good he was.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that point. I maybe a little bit underrated, 100%. Thurl was a baller. Not knowing, you know, deeply the inner workings of that locker room, I would guess Thurl was a big part of it and a big part of any locker room that he'd be in. He just has one of those personalities. Easy guy to be around, easy guy to follow from a leadership standpoint. Before his time from, like, you know, technically, I back in the day, you call him a small forward. Yep. Thurl's big.
7 feet tall.
Thurl's big,
6'11",
and long
tall.
And athletic. And I wonder if Thurl would have been a far more legendary player if he would have played a little bit later, when his body type and that sort of thing were much more valued than they were in the old school rough and tumble NBA.
Thurl ranks among the Jazz all-time leader in points, where he's fifth in games played, excuse me, sixth in minutes played, fifth in field goals made, seventh in free throws made, eighth in rebounds, sixth in blocks, ninth in blocks per game. Like, again, to this point, I think if Thurl is just like, I see him around the arena. Oh, he's a beloved by everybody. Like, he was a baller.
No, he was great.
Thurl could really play and probably should have won Sixth Man of the Year in the late 80s. Jordan Clarkson shouldn't have been the first Jazz player ever to win Sixth Man of the Year. Thurl should have won it one year.
18's low for Thurl.
I think Thurl lost by like literally one vote a Sixth Man of the Year race. So I agree with you. Thurl's a really, really great player. I was glad to see him this high on the list.
And by the way, a great broadcaster, too.
Hey, Thurl's awesome.
Always has been a great, great broadcaster. So, Thurl Bailey, number 18.
Thurl Bailey, very well-deserved here, and a guy who I will admit, you know, talking there with Jake, and appreciate knocking those out with Jake last week, been able to keep that podcast going with him. And, of course, you'll be able to get all of these Jazz 50 players in one enormous podcast when this is all wrapped up and done, a fun project that we've been able to do. Thurl was better as a player than I think he gets credit for in memory for the Jazz. Again, in 1987, 1988, 1988, 1989, when John and Carl were fully taking over that team and that team was emerging as a real threat in the West, Thurl was averaging 19.5 points and 6 rebounds and was coming off the bench. He only started 13 of those games. I mean, that is an absolute high-level player right in that conversation with Jordan Clarkson as the best second-unit guy the team has ever had. So a shout-out to Thurl Bailey. And then the other part of it that I hadn't realized linked so closely to his career, the Jazz win 30 games in 82-83. It's why they didn't end up with a very good it's why they ended up with a great draft pick, and they pick Thurl Bailey to come in. Bailey comes in, and the Jazz jump up 15 wins, and Thurl's a huge part of that rotation and is playing almost immediately. He brought that after winning a title at NC State. So a big shout out to Thurl Bailey and everything he's done for the Utah Jazz. And cool to see him end up on this list. Maybe a controversial player coming up tomorrow. So make sure you will stay tuned for that as well. But Sarah, right now it's time to get to a view into the Pac-12.
Looking into the biggest storylines across college football. It's a view into the Pac-12 brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's been good for them. Something that Colorado's needed and haven't had in a while. And Deion and his son and, you know, Travis and all those other players have done a good job making that side of the world and that stadium and all of that very exciting. It'd be a good game, and really excited to get out there, go versus the defense, our defense go versus their offense, and, to have the crowd roaring at us.
The entire college football world, as if they weren't already, will once again be focused on Boulder, Colorado, but more so than even in the past, as Caleb Williams, a lot of people's favorite to repeat as the Heisman Trophy winner, heads with USC to face Deion Sanders and Colorado. Sarah, this would be the best upset in all of college football this season.
I want it so badly.
I would love it. And I have to admit, I've fully flipped. I'm just a Colorado fan now. After everything that happened with Oregon last week, I left a really bad taste in my mouth. Like, Colorado's not good. I never expected Colorado to be a 9 or a 10-win team. I was kind of slow to buy the hype. Then everyone wanted to bury him. I'm way back in on Colorado.
Yeah, I'm a big Deion fan. Like, yeah, he says things sometimes that make you kind of cringe. But for the most part, like, he's an amazing person. He legitimately wants the best for those guys.
Yes.
And he doesn't need to be coaching. He doesn't,
correct,
in all honesty. But he's doing it because he loves the players and he wants to improve the sport, and he is. So I don't know if I'm, like, all in on Colorado. Like you said, I don't think they're going to have necessarily this a crazy season.
They're
obviously
not going to win the
Pac-12. Undefeated. But I'm not a USC fan, so I really, really want them to show up and, I think, at least compete. I would love to see them win.
Has Deion said anything more cringy than anything that Dan Lanning said in those videos that we saw from Oregon, or what Lincoln Riley said last year when he got to USC and kind of all the changes he expected to make and buying all the players, which is fine. That's the modern day of college football. That's the rules. Lincoln Riley's playing by the rules. Deion's not doing anything different than those guys. He says it a little bit louder, but he's saying the exact same things. And the only reason it's louder is because someone's putting a microphone in front of his face.
Yeah, it's Deion. So people are going to pay attention a little more because of his stature as a person, not just a coach.
I would love to see this game in the 40s. I would love to see this offense, and maybe they just can't do it because they've got the injuries and the offensive line isn't there yet and the running game isn't quite there. But I would love to see Shedeur Sanders and this offense really expose what I think a lot of people believe, including myself, are some of the weaknesses on that USC defense, and have this game a shootout like the TCU game was as well.
Yeah, I could see it being high scoring because both defenses are not the best, especially
right
now that they don't have Travis Hunter on Colorado's team. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Did you see the news come out about the text between Travis Hunter and Deion Sanders? Just another reason why I love Deion.
Yeah.
He's like, this game isn't as important as your future.
Right.
So it's okay. You're
not
playing.
You'll be the number one pick. Sit out another week. Yes, we could use you, but it's more important that you're healthy and ready to go. No, I'm with you. I've liked Deion as the coach. I get it. He knows how to use the media as a tool. He absolutely does use the media as a tool. I get why that turns some people off.
I do think he's legitimately a pretty good coach. And, you know, he's found a way to accrue talent the same way Lincoln Riley has accrued talent. Is Lincoln Riley a great coach? I don't know. He doesn't win a title every year, and he's got the best rosters in college football, along with the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world, and he's not winning at that level. Maybe Dion can get there if he has a chance to recruit that much talent to Colorado in the coming seasons. A view into the Pac-12, brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, where I will be hanging out tomorrow. Peach is Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Give them a call today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, 801-566-1255. Or as I said, come and see me tomorrow. I will be there live from 10 to noon, 2940 South, 300 West. Check out the beautiful showroom. We'll be hanging out, stuff to give away. It's usually treats. It's going to be a fun time. Stop on by and say hi. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
For the best college football in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. It's a huge battle for the Utes as they hit the road to take on Oregon State. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, presented by Any Hour Services on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Fun show today. We don't usually roll solo, but Sarah, always there to help. Appreciate your help today. Appreciate Bill Oram jumping on, talking everything. Damon Lillard did the same with David Locke, talked a little Utah Jazz basketball as well. You can always go find those interviews and the entire show at KSLSports.com. Just look under podcast. You can find our show, DJ and PK, Hans and Scotty, and Unrivaled as well, plus of all the team-specific podcasts we do. A ton of info there. Plus the Morning After podcast, which you can't miss on Sunday mornings, which apparently has a new sponsor now. So shout out to Hans, Scotty, and Lloyd for picking up a new sponsor with that. Speaking of which, Hans and Scotty coming up next. I'll be at Peach Doors and Windows tomorrow. Stop on by and see me. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.